One. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving this past week. I hope that, I don't know about you, but I'm still full from Thanksgiving. I had a lot of good food, and as you know, my background, you know, my parents are from, you know, South Korea, and so our Esther's, and so we had everything. We had turkey, we had, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing, but we also had a little bowl of kimchi, right? Because, you know, you can't leave that out. So we had a wonderful time of Thanksgiving, and, you know, we were able to have some of the young professionals from our church come and join us, and we hosted that, and it was just a reminder that God is so good. And that there's so much to be thankful for in life. There's so much that God has blessed us with, our church, our families here. And as Pastor Charles, you know, mentioned, and even with the candles that we're lighting, we begin today is the first Sunday of what we call Advent. And Advent is simply a word that means it's anticipation, it's awaiting the coming of something that is important. And we all have anticipation. We all look forward to things in life, don't we? When we're kids in school, we look forward to vacation. When we're working as adults, we look forward to vacation, right? It's kind of the things that we look forward to are the things that we desire, whether it's time off from work, time for ourselves, time to spend with family. Or maybe even as Christmas time is right around the corner, we look forward to what kind of gifts we might receive. So we all look forward to different things in life, but as believers, as we celebrate what we call Advent, we look forward to not something, but someone who is to come. And we know that he already did come in the form of a baby. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Because Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, actually came. And so in this Advent season, we look forward not just to Christmas and the festivities and the celebration that the world celebrates, but we as believers, we are looking forward to Jesus Christ himself. And so today we're going to look at a passage that helps us, prepares us. How should we look forward to Jesus? How should we be living as we prepare ourselves? Yes, that Jesus Christ did come already, and then he died on the cross, and then he rose again, but he promised actually that he's going to come again. Amen? Jesus is going to come back again. And so we still have something, someone, during this Advent season to look forward to. And so today's message is titled, Looking Forward to Jesus. Now we're going to look in the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John does a great job of teaching us and reminding us who God is, but also who we are. In John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13, this is what the Word of God says. It says that those who believe in Jesus Christ, they become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you are sitting here, we're sitting here together, many of us with our families. But more than being the children of our own mothers and fathers, if we are believers of Jesus Christ, we are children of God. That's who we are. Because of what Christ has done, we can be called children of God. And so in this Advent season, looking forward to Jesus, as we look forward to Jesus coming again, it should help us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to him. It should help us live lives in a way that glorifies him. So let's look at John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 28 together. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. And this is the word of God. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Let's pray together before we get into the word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again so much for who you are. And we thank you for your word. We are thankful for your word because it teaches us, shows us your heart. It shows us who you are, and it shows us also who you want for us to be. It shows us how you desire for us to live in a close and intimate relationship with you, our God. That we are children of God. You want to remind us of that each and every time we open the Bible, so that our hearts will be directed to you. And that we would look forward to Jesus, that we would anticipate his coming, and that we would live in a way that is not about us, but it's all about you. So help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how should we live in a way that looks forward to Jesus Christ? There's just two very simple points that we have to remember. First is this, life is not about us. Okay, I know maybe many of us don't like hearing that. You're like, what are you talking about? It's not about us. But life is not about us. And the second point, it tells us what life is about. Life is all about Jesus. If you can remember these two things in life, we can learn how to live looking forward to Christ. We can live in a way that glorifies God. You see, we look at this passage, okay, and we're going to look at that first point, that life is not about us. We see Jewish priests, teachers, Levites, coming to John the Baptist, and they ask him this question. You see, the Jewish people had been looking forward to a Messiah to come. And so they came to talk to John the Baptist because he had a great ministry happening. Many people were going to John the Baptist. Many people were being baptized by John the Baptist. And so they were there and they had these questions for John. They wanted to know, who are you? What are you teaching? What is this all about? And in verse 19, they ask him simply, who are you? And John responds, and he doesn't say, hey, I'm John. Instead, he gives an immediate confession. His response in verse 20, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. You see, that response implies that there were people, because of the great ministry that was being done by John the Baptist, they saw him, and some even thought that he might be the Messiah. Because the Jewish people were awaiting the Messiah. They were anticipating, looking forward to the Messiah to come. And perhaps they're thinking, is this guy that person that we're looking forward to? But John makes it clear, I am not the Christ. So they ask more questions. They say, are you the prophet Elijah? Have you come back? See, they see the Spirit working. They see people moving, wanting to live for God more in a radical way. So they ask him, are you Elijah the prophet? And very clearly, again, John the Baptist says, I am not. It's a very interesting thing. We don't see the whole conversation, but we see what's highlighted in the Gospel of John, that John the Baptist clearly answers that he is not the Christ. He is not the prophet Elijah. He is not the prophet spoken about in the book of Deuteronomy. And his response, he doesn't say, well, I can see why you might think that. He doesn't say, wow, you're right. Actually, my ministry is great, but I am not the Christ. He doesn't say these. He just says, I am not the Christ. He confessed and did not deny. You see, there was an opportunity for John to make it about himself. If he was living as the world taught, that life is all about you, your prosperity, your name being made great, what you have to offer. If that's what John believed life to be about, then he had a very good opportunity to say, yes, I am pretty great. He had an opportunity to say, it's about me and my ministry. But instead, he said, no, I am not the Christ. I'm not. And what does he say? Because they're like, then who are you? Tell us who you are. He says this. He says, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So you see, he's clearly stating, life is not all about me. I'm just here to point to someone else. I'm just here to show you someone greater, someone who's worth looking forward to. I'm just the one pointing the way to the Messiah that is to come. He's taking no credit for the ministry that he's doing. He's saying, it's not about me. It's all about the one that's going to come. It's amazing to me how humble John the Baptist is. Because I don't know about you, but there's times when good things are happening. Don't we want to take credit for it? You know, when things aren't going so well, we say, oh, that's not my fault. But when things are going really great, we want to say, yes, that was me. I accomplished that. I made these things happen. But John didn't do that. You see, he looked forward to Christ that was to come. He looked forward to Jesus, and because his mind and his heart was set on Jesus, even though there's a temptation, the opportunity to make it about himself, he said, life is not all about us. He wanted the glory to be given to God. So I just want to ask you this simple question. Who or what is your life all about? What is it that you most look forward to in your life? Does it have anything to do with Jesus? Does it have anything to do with the one who has given his life for you upon the cross, risen again, forgiven your sins, given you eternal life? What do you look forward to most in your life? Who do you look forward to most in your life? I believe God is challenging us and he's encouraging us, reminding us life is not all about us. It's all about him. So let's get to that point. Life is all about Jesus. You know, I ask again, you know, what do you look forward to most? You see, we look forward to the things that we value. When we're in the workplace, perhaps what you're looking forward to most is that promotion or, you know, that raise. Or, you know, when you're a parent, what are you looking forward to most? You want to see how your children are going to turn out. You're hoping the best for them. You're praying for them. You're looking forward to these things. And those are not bad or wrong things. But if that is what's driving us, if that's all we're living for, then somehow, even as Christians, as believers, we've made life still all about us. Life is all about Jesus. It's all about him. Yes, we take care of everything else, but what we look forward to most in life, what life is all about, it must be Jesus Christ. And that's what we see in the second point. Life is all about Jesus. In verse 23, John says that he is simply one who is calling out from the desert, make straight the way of who? The Lord. Now, this is very significant. This is very important that he refers to this verse in Isaiah as he's looking forward to Jesus who is to come. He references this verse in Isaiah chapter 40, saying, make straight the way for the Lord. Now, the Lord in the Old Testament, the word that is used here is actually the word Yahweh. And Yahweh is actually the name that is given for God. And we here in our church, we have biblical truth, and we know that our God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, who is to come, as they are, he's looking forward to Jesus coming. This is the truth that the word used in the Old Testament, the Lord, Yahweh, that Jesus is indeed God, who is going to come into the world, who has come into the world. And so in verse 26, when John the Baptist says this, he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He's making a clear statement. Again, life is not all about me. All I'm doing is pointing to the one that life is all about, and that's Jesus Christ. And when he comes, I am not even worthy to untie his sandal. Now, this is, again, a very important thing when we think about the culture of this time. Remember when I've shared before about the washing of feet, how Jesus got down on his knee and served his disciples and washed their feet, why it was so significant. Because the washing of feet, the touching of feet in those times was set aside for the lowest of slaves. If you had any status or position, you did not deal with other people's feet, let alone your own feet even. So when John says, there's someone coming after me, and I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal, what John is saying is that Jesus Christ is far greater, far more important. He is the one that you need to look forward to. It's all about him. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. And we'll come to see later on that when Jesus shows up, we know that Jesus asks John to baptize him. And John at first is like, no, I'm not the one who should baptize you. You should baptize me. But we see John, after he baptizes Jesus, we see the Holy Spirit descend upon him in the form of a dove, and we hear a voice from heaven saying, you are my son with whom I am well pleased. And so we see the reality, yes, making the way, preparing it for the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord who has come. And so as John looks forward to Jesus Christ, it enables him to have purpose, enables him to have a clear focus about what his life is truly all about. And I wonder, for us here, how easy it is for us to get distracted. I wonder for us here, myself included, even as a pastor, how easy it can be to make life all about me. Even as I preach, there's an opportunity, a temptation to say, I want to be known as a great pastor. I want to be known as a great preacher. There is that reality. So if life is all about me, that's all I can think about as I look out here. Oh, I wonder if that person's listening, or if someone falls asleep, I'll be really sad. What am I doing wrong? They're not even listening. But life is not all about me. As I preach the word of God, it's what he has called me to do. It's the purpose that he's given to me. And so I do it, keeping my mind, asking him, Lord, help me to look forward to you. Help this to be all about glorifying you. so that one person might hear the message of the gospel and come to know you as I know you, God, my Lord, my Savior. What is it for you? What do you look forward to that's keeping you away, distracting you from looking forward to Jesus? Is it your work? Is it your family? Your children, your parents? Is it a desire that you have to be so successful in this world? To make it in this world? And so you look forward to that. You look forward to a picture of what success looks like, what it looks like to be prosperous in life. And Jesus says, no, look forward to me. I came into the world. I came to seek and save the lost, and I came and died on the cross. And for anyone who believes, you can be called a child of God. Are you looking forward to Jesus Christ, or are you getting distracted by making life somehow all about yourself? You know, when you look forward to Jesus Christ, when you trust in Him, everything else God takes care of. It doesn't mean everything always goes well and only good things happen, but Jesus promises to take care of you. He's with you always for those who believe. So let's not get distracted. Let's not make life all about us and forget the purpose that we have. Every one of us, though we are not all pastors or missionaries, we are all children of God that He calls to live for Him. And when we forget that, there can be trouble ahead. There's a story about two ducks and a frog. Two ducks and a frog, they lived happily together in a pond. They were the best of friends. They would play with one another, splash around in the water. But when the summer days came, that pond, there was a particularly hot summer, and that pond started to dry up. And well, for the ducks, it was not a problem. They could just flap their wings and fly on over to another pond, another source of water. But the frog, he was in a little bit of trouble. He needed help. He needed to find another place where there was water so that he could live. And he didn't have wings to go fly away. And so he came up with a plan, this frog. He was a very smart frog. He talked to his two duck friends and said, hey, you know what? You guys can fly, but I can't. What if you guys were to grab a stick and put it in your mouths and leave a little space for me to hang on? And then you guys can fly me over to another pond with you. And the ducks said, quack, quack, right? Oh, yeah, great idea. And so as the pond was starting to dry up, they were off, getting ready to enact this plan. So the ducks, they got the stick. One put one in his mouth, the other put one in his mouth. And then the frog hopped on and he grabbed the middle, the stick, with his mouth. And they were ready to go. So off they began their flight, their journey to another pond. And so while the ducks were flying, there was a farmer down below and he saw this amazing sight. Two ducks holding a stick and a frog holding onto the stick with his mouth. And he said, wow, this is amazing. That's such an awesome thing. I wonder who thought of that. And the frog said, I did. You guys see what happened? You see, the frog lost sight of his purpose. You see, he lost sight. Life was at the other pond. But he became so focused and made it all about himself that he just had to open his mouth and take the credit for this great idea. See, he was distracted. What he should have been looking forward to is that water in that other pond. But he got distracted because there was an opportunity to make life about himself. He was probably looking forward to the farmer saying, "Wow, you were the one that thought of that idea? Great! You're the smartest frog!" Maybe that's what he was looking forward to in that moment. But in that moment, he had forgotten what he needed to do, what his purpose was on this journey to that other pond. I know it's a silly story, but what about you? You know, we can laugh, but what happened to that frog? Probably died, okay? And I think that's how seriously we need to take our faith. That's how seriously we need to take looking forward to Christ and remembering that life is all about him. Because what's not funny is to see people who proclaim, "I'm living for Jesus," but then living life like the rest of the world. Looking forward to praise of man. Looking forward to worldly success. Looking forward to gratification of worldly pleasures. Looking forward to all these things, and Jesus is right there. He's given us a mission. He's given us a purpose. And it's so easy for us to get distracted. And when we get distracted, there's trouble. Because we forget who God is. We forget who we are as children of God. So how will you live your life? What is your life about? Is it about you? Your own name? Your own family? Your own success? Or is it about Christ? You see, John, he didn't have to try to be humble. John the Baptist didn't have to say, "Okay, I just need to be more humble. I just need to make life more about Jesus." No, he just knew Jesus. He knew his purpose because he knew the Lord. And so he lived that out. Don't forget your purpose. But that purpose becomes more and more real as you spend time with God, as you spend time in his word, as you spend time in prayer. That's what I want for our church. That every single person here would know the Lord, know their purpose, and even as Christmas time is right around the corner, we live in such a way with our lives where we look forward to Christ. As many of you know, Esther and I, my wife and I, are expecting a baby girl in February. And that's something that I'm very much looking forward to. I'm so looking forward to it. I'm a little scared, but I'm so looking forward to it because it's going to be such an awesome and joyful thing, and I'm so thankful to God for his blessings. But even as I was preparing for this sermon, you know what struck me is even more than looking forward to having this precious baby girl, a daughter in my life, I want so much more that my heart truly, sincerely would look forward to Christ. Because I know his love for me. That's deeper than any other love, any other thing. I know his grace for me. His forgiveness that came at a great cost. While I was a sinner, Christ died for me. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. So I was thinking that. You know, isn't that an interesting thing? Can we look forward to Christ in that kind of way? Can we look forward to Jesus in such a way that it is the most joyful excitement that we could have? We can't force it. We can't pretend it. It happens when we look forward to him, when we get to know him more deeply. So let's look forward to Christ together in this season of Advent. And let's just learn to be in the love of the Lord together as a church. Let's pray. Can we just take one moment to respond in prayer? Later in John chapter 3, verse 30, John the Baptist says a very simple phrase. He says, "He must become greater. I must become less." Too much in life, We are told I must become greater and everyone else must become less. But no, God, He already is the greatest, but in our lives, in the way that we live, in the way that we look forward to Christ, He must become greater and we must become less. Life is not all about us, it's all about Jesus. So can we just pray just for one moment? And you know, when you pray, God hears you. Even if it's just one moment of honest prayer right now, He'll meet you where you are. So lift up a prayer and say, God, I want to look forward to You. I want to look forward to Jesus more than any other thing or any other person. Help me to live in that kind of way. Let's take a moment to pray for that, and then I'll close us. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You. I thank You that You have given us Your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He is worth looking forward to. We thank You that Jesus Christ has already come, that He lived a perfect life, and then He gave His life on the cross for our benefit, for our sake. God, that You would be glorified through many, many people in this world being forgiven of their sins and becoming children of Yours. God, would You remind us that we are first children of God and that we have a purpose in You. Help us not to lose sight of that purpose. Help us not to be distracted by the things of this world, by the teaching of this world that tells us to make it all about us. And may we stand firm in Your word and know that life is all about Jesus. So help us to live in that way, we pray. In Your name we pray. Amen. We will now go into a time of communion together.